welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start this morning with a passage of Scripture in out of 1 Corinthians. And as we do, there's something about the book of 1 Corinthians. If you read that book before, it's like the Apostle Paul kind of does a big book that is really kind of a almost like the question-answer book of the New Testament. The Corinthian church had a lot of questions as they were establishing their church. And as you read through that book of 1 Corinthians, you can tell the Apostle Paul had gotten a list of their questions and it was basically answering their questions one by one. You know, they had some morality issues that they needed to address. They needed legal issues addressed, marital issues addressed, meat offered to idols. They talked about communion that we just read this morning. How do we do communion? Head coverings was another one there, and the resurrection. And then also one of their big hot-button issues of the day back then, which is still kind of a hot-button issue today, he takes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. Remember, he's addressing their questions. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." He says, there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. You can hear that, see that common theme. This is all the Holy Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so this was one of their issues of the day, this whole idea, this whole concept of spiritual gifts. And you'll notice the very first thing that the Apostle Paul says, which is probably one of the most profound thing of this whole passage, is right in verse 1. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know, ignorance is one of the things that causes people to come to wrong conclusions. And what the Amplified here says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be misinformed. That's another really good way of putting it too. We're talking about spiritual gifts, okay? And this was one of the things that the Apostle Paul dearly, dearly wanted to get across to the Corinthian church. He didn't want them to be ignorant. In other words, when you said, like, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all that kind of stuff, that you weren't kind of going, what? But you understood, what does that mean? What are these gifts? What do they look like in real life? You know, that's kind of our slogan here at Door of Life, is where faith meets real life. What is discerning of spirits? Where faith meets real life. And so this morning, I just wanted to take some time, and I want to walk through the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to know what they look like in real life. These aren't things that we're supposed to be afraid of. They're gifts of the Spirit. And you look at what Paul says and how he described it. He said, the same Spirit, same Lord, same Spirit. You know, it's... He's very emphatic that it's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that you got when you received Christ is the same Holy Spirit that manifests these things. Now, this is not, I'm not reading to you today from a Pentecostal Bible. This is in your Bible. This is in all of our Bibles. This is part of the Scriptures that God has put in there that is instructions for the New Testament church. And I'll say this too. for myself, I wasn't raised in this. I wasn't raised being taught about gifts of the Spirit per se. I was raised in a really good Lutheran church, and I got a great foundation in God and the things of God and the Spirit of God. But I can tell you this, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I have a very compassionate empathy for those of us who are looking at that and going, well, what is that? Just because you never really been taught it. So you're kind of ignorant about it. And for me, I wasn't against it. I was kind of more neutral. I didn't really get it, you know, one way or the other. In some ways, that was good. You know, I didn't have to overcome an anti-gift message, but I still had to deal with, what is that really scripture? Is that really in the Bible? How does that look? What is it? Should I just gloss over this? You know, it's amazing when you look at these passages of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12 really hits the gifts of the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 13 is the great love chapter. We all know that one. We pull from that a lot. And then 1 Corinthians 14 goes back to the gifts of the Spirit and how to navigate as you're talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and all this kind of stuff. So you got these three chapters sandwiched in the middle is love. And so we're great, and we need to pull into the love chapter. But you got to realize, as you're looking at the body of Scripture as a whole, this is all in there. And this is all in there for the church. And like I said, this isn't something that I was raised in, okay? And I'm very much like you guys. I'm not going to put on. I'm not going to I'm not going to do stuff, weird stuff, or be dramatic to score spiritual points and make people think I'm spiritual. I don't care about that, you know? All I care about is really I want to do the Word. I want to live for God, and I want my experience in God and the things of God to be genuine, to be the real deal, right? We don't care about trying to make people think we're spiritual. You kind of come off two different ditches. People can get off in real flaky because they want to prove that they're really spiritual, or you got people in the other ditch that won't even look at that scripture to prove that they're not flaky. But it's in the Word, right? So we got to do something with it. We got to get in the middle of the road, and we got to say, okay, Lord, show me. What is here? What are these gifts? What do they mean? How does this affect my life today? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I want to try to do this morning. I really just want to teach on these gifts. I just want to give you some clear definitions and understanding to what they are and how they functioned in the New Testament. You're going to see everything we talk about. You're going to see an account in the book of Acts of each one of these and how they worked, how they functioned, how they flowed. They're not to be weird or strange. In fact, when I go through some of these things, you're going to realize, wow, I've experienced some of this stuff in my life. And you're going to, and some things might click and make sense and go, wow, that was a gift. That was the word of knowledge. I didn't even know what the word of knowledge was, but now I do. And you realize God has worked and ministered in different ways, supernatural ways. The stuff that we're talking about here, you know, it is something that was given by the Spirit of God for the church. And so, again, as we go through it, where, you know, what I want to do is try to demystify some of this stuff to where you can kind of see it and be aware of it. And as you do it, it's not so much the labels that are important as we talk about each of these gifts, is that you understand what they are and how and that they exist and how they flow. And they are going to, I believe this is going to bless you and realize that, wow, we've got, God has really blessed the church with some amazing spiritual equipment to help us through this life in the here and now. So as we look at these gifts of the Spirit, first of all, what we're going to do is there's nine of them that are listed here in terms of these ministry gifts of the Spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to organize these gifts into three sections, okay? And this is, when you look at the nine gifts of the Spirit, you'll see that there are three categories of gifts. There are gifts that say something, there are gifts that reveal something, and there are gifts that do something. And they're all classified into three. The first thing that we're going to look at in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning, this is really what I want to talk about, just really look at these gifts. What are they? How do they work? How do they function? And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show you and encourage your own spirit how he's already ministered to you through these gifts and keep your heart open for how he can and will minister to you in the future. First of all, we have gifts that say something, okay? When we're talking about gifts that say something, we actually had that this morning at Door of Life in our worship service. There's prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Those are the three gifts. They're kind of grouped in threes, but they are gifts that actually say something. They're gifts that communicate to us the heart and the mind of God, okay? Here's what we see in 1 Corinthians 14 regarding prophecy. The scripture says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. There's obviously a lot in there, and there's a lot of things in there. But what I want to just kind of at a kind of a quick level talk about this morning, and I'm not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm just kind of say that right up front. I want to take another message just for that. What I want to talk about, though, this morning is what the Scripture calls different kinds of tongues. That means you're in a service, and if somebody gives out a tongue, and then somebody gives out an interpretation of tongue, then you've got basically the whole church is edified. You know, we had a tongue, and then we had the interpretation of the tongue, where, you know, it's talking, come unto me. There's peace, there's rest. And that's a word of, what does the Scripture say? What is the, it says, he who prophesies, verse 3, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's the net effect of prophecy. And that word, that interpretation this morning, was a tremendous word of comfort. There is peace. There is rest. It's a spontaneous message from the heart of God to the body of Christ to encourage rest, peace. That's really the effect of prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what prophecy, the effect of prophecy will have when it comes through. But you'll notice that, you know, here he's saying desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. He didn't say to run away from them. He said to desire them, but especially that you may prophesy, okay? And why is that powerful? Because prophecy is going to speak a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's going to encourage, it's going to edify the body of Christ. And we also see that tongues and interpretation of tongues has the exact same effect as prophecy. Somebody I've heard describe it like this. If you can think of prophecy as a dime, and you can think of tongues and interpretation of tongues is two nickels. The net effect is it produces the same thing, whether somebody prophesies or whether you say that. You know, sometimes after a, you know, praise and worship service, I'll come up here and I'll just speak something in English, but it's something that I got in my spirit while I was worshiping God, and it's really a word of prophecy. Very important to understand, prophecy does not have to be prefaced with, thus saith the Lord, my little children, to be prophecy. Okay? In fact, there's a lot of people who would say they don't believe in the modern-day gifts of the Spirit who actually minister in prophecy and don't call it that and don't realize that's what they're doing. You know, even a minister on a Sunday morning, that minister knows when they're going off notes and all of a sudden they're speaking something by the Spirit of God. They're thinking, wow, praise God. That was spontaneous. That wasn't part of my prepared remarks. It just came out of my heart and it was right and it was in line. Well, that's a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's a supernatural gift that can flow. Again, it doesn't have to be prefaced. It doesn't have to be flowered. It's an unction of the Holy Spirit. It's an utterance that happens. Praise God. And so, like I said, it happens all the time. In pulpits, we don't put the label on it, you know, as that, but that's what it is. It's a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. But it's supernatural. It's as the Spirit wills. I didn't plan it. I didn't prepare it. God spoke it through me. It happens in the 4 years of this church and other churches in your fellowship. You're talking to one another and you're just having some good old talk and all of a sudden you're saying something comes to your heart and your mind and you speak it out and you can tell there's an anointing on it and there's an unction on it and you can tell that person is edified and comforted and encouraged. You know, it doesn't happen every time you open your mouth, but occasionally that you'll get a word. It's like there's something behind that word. That's an element of prophecy. It's a prophetic word. Again, you don't have to preface it with all the flowery stuff and kind of what we conjure up in our mind of these spiritual gifts. They just really, their edification, exhortation, comfort, it's really a simple gift, but it's something that comes spontaneously by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. And so we can see it's not a strange deal. And in fact, like, let me just kind of put it this way too, when I'm ministering a lot of times, you see those three words, edification, exhortation, comfort. You can see that there will be a tone a lot of times in the way somebody will minister of edification, exhortation, comfort. Some messages are real edification. This is who you are. This is what you have. This is what you can do in Christ, and to really encourage and build you up of what God has done for you. Some of them are going to be kind of exhortive. You know, look to the Word. Look to Jesus. Go, you know, set your mind on things above. You know, submit yourself to God, you know. And all of a sudden, wow, Pastor Ed seems a little jacked up today. Well, there's probably an exhortation that's coming through there. You know, and these messages, and, you know, sometimes you're just going to really, hey, God loves you. And just God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. You can't get away. His grace is abound. And like that word this morning, there's peace, there's comfort. It's comfort. It's comfort. And that element of prophecy comes through the messages. And you'll see a certain tone or a tenor of a message. Usually it kind of lines up with one of those three things. It's going to be building you up, it's going to be exhorting you on, or it's going to be comforting you. And that's kind of the element. It's the same spirit, same spirit, same spirit. And that's what you're judging. I don't care why that sounds weird. I'm not listening to see if it sounds, I'm listening for the Spirit. Is that what the Spirit would say? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You can hear the voice of the Spirit coming through. It's like, yeah, that's totally like the way he talks to me, you know? He might even talk to you little quirky ways in different times that you may not always reveal publicly, but you know that's God, and you all, thank you, God, and you have your own little sense of humor with God, and you know it's him, and you're listening for his voice in this stuff. And that's just the same Spirit, same Spirit. And as we look in, you know, some of the other scriptural, you know, examples, we see, you know, the next day, this is the Apostle Paul on his travels, like we're going to hit the book of Acts today. The next day, we who were in Paul's companions departed from Caesarea. We entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who is one of the seven. One of the seven who were appointed to take care of the ministry of the widows, it said, and stayed with them. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Now, how did they know they prophesied? They obviously stayed with them, and they heard these girls prophesy. They prophesied. That was not strange. That was not weird. That was just normal Christian church living. There was prophecy. What did they do? They gave words that edified, exhorted, and comforted. Could have been tongues, interpretation of tongues. They got across the heart of God, and we can see that operating clearly in the church right there. Just as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, here's a great example too of prophecy. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, one called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, man who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Who said? The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them their way. And being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. You just read the book of Acts, and you'll just hear, the Holy Spirit did this, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit. And you're going, wow, what did that look like in real life? I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like tongues and interpretation of tongues. It looked like prophecy. They're ministering to the Lord. They're fasting. And all of a sudden, God said. That's not an audible voice that they're all hearing. That's a word that's coming through the gifts of the Spirit to let you know that things are happening. And we don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't say specifically what happened or how it happened. But we know that there was a supernatural utterance that spoke those words. The importance wasn't to draw attention to who said what or who prophesied. The importance of the matter was the Spirit said. The Spirit said. So it's important to see, praise God, they were just, I like to say, minding their own business, worshiping the Lord, ministering, and then the Spirit said, the Spirit spoke something. You can be here in the morning, minding your own business, worshiping the Lord, and the Spirit can speak some things to you. In the privacy of your own heart, nobody even knows it. But God is speaking things to your heart. And there are times when God is going to speak things to the whole church. Remember the first time I ever gave out a word of prophecy in a public service, it was like my heart was beating out of my chest. I always get stuff for me, but then you get something that's bigger than just you, and you know it's bigger than just you. And you give it out, and there's a corporate blessing that comes from that gift of the Spirit. And so as we're looking at these things, we also want to just realize that that this was part of the norm of the church. In fact, here's where Paul, it says, met some guys who knew the baptism of John, and he went on to say, you know, Paul talked to these guys, and he said, yeah, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You know, it could be prophesied there again, could be tongues and interpretation of tongues, it could just be a word of prophecy, but we could see this was just a natural flow of what was going on in the book of Acts. It was just a flow of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, different things like that. And it's important to realize that, again, this is really given, why? For edification, exhortation, and comfort, okay? That's why God gives prophecy. And here is a point of warning, all right? I know, I've heard, you've probably heard of a lot of little different kind of little prophecy services, or people get together and all of a sudden there's a lot of personal prophecy going on where people say, thus saith the Lord, you got to do this, you got to do that. The Lord is telling me you should do this, you should not do this. Be very, very careful about personal prophecy. Do you understand? You have no obligation to obey or do or move on anybody's personal prophecy. It has to line up, unless it lines up with the Holy Spirit inside you. The Bible says in 1 John 2, you have an anointing that abides within. You need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things. Okay? So if somebody has a word of prophecy for you, it needs to bear witness with your spirit. You understand? You're not being directed apart from the witness. That's why the Spirit of truth is in you. If it's of God, it'll bear witness. What do I mean by bear witness? I mean, there's going to be a sense of peace. There's going to be a sense of expectancy, of joy. There's going to be expectant seeing and knowing that is God. It's a joyous thing when you get a witness of the Spirit of God, okay? So when we're talking about prophecy, especially in the area of personal prophecy, you judge everything. In fact, people got off. You see, sometimes we think of, oh, yeah, there's kind of this stigma about prophecy. They had the same stigma 2,000 years ago with prophecy. In fact, one of the very first books ever written in the whole Bible, New Testament, was 1 Thessalonians. And one of Paul's concluding remarks in 1 Thessalonians is, don't quench the Spirit and despise not prophesying. He had to tell the church of Thessalonica, don't despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from the appearance of evil. Prophecy needs to be judged, must be judged. And the first way you judge prophecy is, does it line up with the Word? Obviously, the Word that we had this morning very much lined up with the Word of God, right out of Matthew 11. You know, you can see it just lines up with the Word, the Spirit of God. And so those things need to be judged. Anytime somebody gives you a prophecy and you don't have freedom to check it out for your heart, run away from that. You always have the freedom to check out in your own heart any word of any prophecy. God did not give prophecy to direct people and to have people control people's lives. God's given you the Holy Spirit. Jesus is your Lord. And if you get a word of prophecy, it better bear witness with your heart. Sometimes it may clearly, sometimes it may not clearly, and sometimes you may be going, I don't know about that one. And I like what somebody, you know, once said. It said, you know, put it on the back burner. Just say, Lord, I'm not sure about that one. If there's anything there I need, you bring it to me. You reveal it to me by your Spirit. The number one primary way you're going to be learning and taught things is the great teacher of the church. Jesus said when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And remember, it's the same Spirit. The same Spirit you have, the same Spirit you know, the same Jesus you know, the same anointing that abides within needs to bear witness with that same Spirit of a word of prophecy, if indeed it is the same Spirit. Okay? So don't ever be intimidated by prophecy or things like that. You always have the freedom to check things out in your heart and decide whether that's God or whether it's not God. That's why Paul said, judge, prove. He said, but on the same hand, don't despise prophesying. Why did he tell him not to despise prophesying? Because people got in the flesh then like they do today, and they begin to prophesy out of their soul, and they begin to prophesy out of their agenda, and they begin to prophesy out of all different flesh things and try to call it the Spirit. And when that happens a few times, you can get a little jaded regarding spiritual gifts. I'm just going to stay away from that altogether. I'm not going to fall into that ditch. And Paul said, no, don't do that. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophesying. Just prove it out. Just prove stuff. If it's good or if it's not good. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't throw out prophecy altogether. Stay with it. Don't be discouraged. Don't despise it. Because I'll tell you what, there's some good things that'll come through prophecy. There's some powerful confirming words that'll come through a word of prophecy that'll keep you steady and strong in the hard times. You get some amazing ways that God will communicate through his body, through the gift of prophecy, whether it's prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever. Okay? So Paul's saying, don't be ignorant. This is a precious gift. It happens, it functions, it flowed in the New Testament church, and it will bless you. It'll let you know. It'll give you words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. So those are what we would call really like the gifts that say something, okay? The next thing we want to look at is what we'd call the gifts that reveal something. Gifts that reveal something. This is where, you know, you're going to begin to see things and know things that there's the only way you could have known it was by the Spirit of God, because you just didn't have the natural ability to really absolutely know and understand apart from the Spirit of God showing you some things. And the gifts that reveal something, you know, are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. These are different gifts of the Spirit that will reveal something. So what do we mean by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits? Let's go ahead and start with the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is really just a supernatural revelation of facts, present or past, about something or about a situation that you did not have any natural knowledge of. You didn't know it. The Spirit of God just showed you stuff supernaturally, supernatural facts. A lot of times you can kind of look, you know, we got the worldly counterfeits of stuff and deception and different things like that, that we kind of look and kind of lump it all together. It's all kind of weird. It's all kind of showmanship and different things like that. Not at all. There are real events and real cases where God has revealed things by a word of knowledge and given people supernatural understanding about stuff, as we can see here in the Word of God. In Acts chapter 9, this is where, remember when Paul was Saul, he was on the road to Damascus, he got struck down, you know, and kind of fell down off his horse, looked up at the sun, it was bright. And, you know, the Lord told him to go into Damascus. And while he was in Damascus, the Lord spoke to a man named Ananias about Saul, or Paul of Tarsus at the time, Saul of Tarsus, or who we'd call the Apostle Paul. So now it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying, and in a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Wow, that's a pretty specific word. Ananias only knows that by the Spirit of God. That's what we call a word of knowledge. Wow. God is showing me something supernaturally about something. A lot of times people confuse what we would call, I will get to the discerning of spirits. They'll confuse the gift of the discerning of spirits with the gift of the word of knowledge. If God shows you supernaturally something about a person that's true and it's a fact and it's right, that's really the gift of the word of knowledge. You know something about a person or in a situation just supernaturally. And it's just God showing it to you. And God can just show you in a moment of time about that. It's like, wow, that's just amazing. It wasn't your smarts. It wasn't your brilliance. You could be negotiating a car deal, and all of a sudden you can just get a sense or a knowing something. Or, you know, purchases or a relationship or a job opportunity or different things like that. And God can just drop a knowing about something. That's just, and it's not because you even did all your due diligence and all your research that you can point to. Just a knowing. Ah, thank you, Lord. I mean, there's some amazing stories, too, of people even rescuing and different things like that where God will just show people things, supernatural locations and all that, and it's just like, wow, thank you, Lord. Supernatural word of wisdom where God will drop something just very clearly in your heart. We can also see this when it came with, let's see here, Peter. Peter will kind of get later, but he had a vision when he was on the rooftop. But after the vision that Peter had, the Lord had a very specific word to him. While Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, as I have sent them. And sure enough, as he looked down, there were people seeking him, and he was just showing him facts. This is what's going on. And this was really a big deal because Peter was about to really hit some hot-button issues when he went into the house of a Gentile and spoke to them the word of God. And that was really going to cause him a lot of trouble and grief later on as far as people accusing him. And he'll go back and say, hey, look, the Spirit of God showed me this was going to happen. He gave me a vision. He told me to follow these guys. And that's where that supernatural gift of the Spirit, you know, here, in case the word of knowledge, Peter had no way of knowing that. except God showed him that three men are seeking you. So that was very clear in his heart. He just knew that. He knew it without seeing them. So what is that? That's just it's a gift of the word of knowledge. Now the word of wisdom is something that's, you know, akin to the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is, again, facts present or past. The word of wisdom goes out into the future. It's going to show you future things to come. This is kind of what we think of, you know, like the classic ministry of the prophet, prophesying about future events and future things that are going to come. Yes, that happens in scriptures too. That is a word of wisdom. It's a predictive foreknowledge of future events. And here we can see with Ananias, you know, we saw that the Lord told Ananias where to find Paul. But then, you know, when the Lord told Ananias, you know, he saw a guy lay hands on him, you know, and Ananias is having a vision of the Lord. Ananias is kind of arguing with the Lord here in the middle of his vision. Because then Ananias, he talks back to the Lord and he says, Lord, I have heard about this man, this Paul guy, how much harm he's done your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. What is he talking about? He's talking about Paul's future. You know, Ananias just sees a guy who wants to destroy the church, and God is saying, no, this is a guy who's going to bring my name before kings. What is he doing? He is prophesying out ahead of how Paul is going to be used. And you know, when we talk about these things, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you don't have to get all technical and compartmentalize them. They'll flow. They'll flow from one to the other in a single word of prophecy. You can have elements of these things. But it's important to understand that the supernatural gifting of showing forth future events is very much part, and you know, in the church and in these gifts, and part of what God wants us to be able to see and to know and understand, that we can see things ahead of time by that gift. Here's another example, too, in Acts chapter 21. We stayed many days, and a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hand of the Gentiles. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So here we have in verse 11, it's a word of wisdom. It's a prophetic word of what's going to happen to you in the future, the guy who owns this belt. Now you'll notice the word did not tell Paul not to go. It was just saying, this is what's going to happen. In fact, when you read back in Acts chapter 20, that's where Paul says, look, he said, you know, persecutions and afflictions await me, the Holy Spirit bearing witness, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my course with joy. They said that back in the previous chapter. So here you're getting the witness of the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, you got some persecutions and afflictions, and Paul says, that's fine. In fact, when you kind of know what's coming, it kind of forearms you. And you're not quite as, you know, nervous. God, it's one thing for the enemy that the enemy's going to attack when the Lord says, yep, here's going to attack. Here's where he's going to attack. Here's how he's going to attack. Well, it kind of takes the edge off the attack a little bit. But it doesn't mean that you got to run the other way either. You know, sometimes we're all excited. We want a word. I want a word. I want a word. I want a word. A lot of times when God gave people a word, he gave them a word to kind of keep them steady in some hard places, you know. And so thank God when he gives us those words. But, you know, thank God when you don't have a word. You know, I'm not living from word to word. We've all got a word right here, the word of God. This is where we live and move and have our being and breathe and eat and eat our spiritual food. These other words, God gives us as he sees fit. Praise God for those words that'll do it. And that will kind of help. It will help steady us. But we can see the Apostle Paul, he had some things regarding his future. So, and then also, we'll just talk about, finally, the discerning of spirits. Acts chapter 10. 9 through 12, this is the apostle, they'll talk about what is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is really where you are discerning, you are seeing into the spirit realm, this pneuma. You're actually seeing things that these eyes can't see. This is where people will have visions, and they'll see things that you just can't see with your natural eyes, or they'll see into the spirit, all right? Again, that's a gift of the spirit as the spirit wills. And we see here the apostle Peter. It says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, Then he became very hungry, wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now think about this. Peter's on a housetop, and he's looking, and he's seeing the sheet coming down from the sky. If this was something, a natural phenomena, the house would have been surrounded with people looking up at this great sheet. There was nobody around the house looking up in the sky at a great sheet. It was just Peter. He's the only one who saw it. He saw something that God was using to establish a New Testament doctrine that the Gentiles can be saved too. You know, this is going to be a big groundbreaking revelation. But he used that discerning of spirits. He saw into the spirit realm, and God showed him something his natural eyes couldn't see. These are things that reveal something. They reveal truth. It could reveal knowledge about facts and figures of a person, past and present. It could reveal things, future. But it'll also reveal things, and it'll show you things as you look into the realm of the spirit that will instruct and edify, bring edification to the church. This was a vision that brought edification to the church, especially us Gentiles. Praise God that they got that settled, that we can come into the fold too. And so as we see that, we see here again too, just another kind of directive one. This is the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." I wonder what that looked like. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. These are directives of the Spirit of God that are obviously coming through some form of, you know, prophetic gift, you know, where God is checking them, saying no. These are good things to want to preach the gospel, but he said no. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So what happened was the Apostle Paul saw something. He saw in a vision a man from Macedonia. It was revealed to him. Did he see that man with his eyes? Nope. He saw it with the eyes of his spirit. It's a discerning of spirits. That's a supernatural thing when you see something like that. Finally, here's a great example too, Acts 7. Now this is Stephen. You know, Stephen gave a great speech about God, and he rebuked them, saying that they've resisted the Spirit of God. And this was their response. It said, when they heard these things that Stephen said, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, while being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Wow. Now, if that would have been something that he was seeing with his natural eyes, all those other guys would have saw the same thing too. They didn't see it. They saw a glassy-eyed Stephen looking to heaven, and they didn't like him. They were mad. But Stephen was seeing something. He could see into the spirit realm, and he could see heaven. He could see Jesus in heaven. What is that? That's a discerning of spirits. That's where God is allowing you to see into a realm. I've had a few little experiences like that where you can see glimpses of things with your supernatural eyes. You can see things supernaturally by the Spirit of God. And it's great when God chooses to do that. I've related my testimony too of, you know, when just coming to the new man, knowing that I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and kind of beating myself up, feeling condemned, you know, for having sinned, and all of a sudden just saying to myself, "No, that's just who I am." And just God, by the Spirit of God, giving me a discerning of spirits, just opened my eyes to see the new creation in Christ Jesus. And I looked, and he said, this is who you are. You know, and what I saw was just glory. It was like a glorious, brand new person. The old had passed away, old as all had become new. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It's like God gave me a glimpse at the new. And I go, wow, praise God, that's me. You will like you when you can see what God did to you on the inside. And I remember going right back in my little notebook and doing three little circles, spirit, soul, and body. And I remember saying, and just putting, you know, the body is my body. You know, the outward man, outward circle, the second circle is my soul. That's what I thought, what I feel. But that inward circle is me. And I put a little smiley face in there, and I said, that's the real me. And I'd heard that, and I'd heard that, and I'd heard that, but then I saw it. It was like, whoa, I saw it. And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. That little vision has kept me steady on the new creation ever since. And that was, you know, back in, you know, 86, 87, 30 years ago. And I can still see it. It's very significant, precious time in my life. Other time I'd have had it when our brother Luke Sheets went to be with Jesus. And I remember I was just sitting out in my backyard, and all of a sudden I was just sitting out there, and all of a sudden I heard something. It was like a trumpet blast. I remember looking up to see where I thought the sound was coming from, and then I saw. It was like Stephen saw into heaven. I saw into heaven, and I saw Luke, and I saw him, and I could see he was just like, it was like he was in glory and white. And I heard that trumpet blast, and I heard the words, I heard something, the trumpet blast, I saw something, Luke, and then I heard something, heroes welcome. And I saw the look on Luke's face. It was like an overwhelming joy and humility all at once. It was just like, wow, praise God. You know, and I'll tell you what, that little vision greatly comforted. It's edification, exhortation, comfort. You know, I haven't had a lot of those in my 30 years, but you know, the couple that you get, man, it's the real deal. It'll bless your life. Be open. You know, that's why it's important to realize these things are there, because God could show you something and go, no, what was that? Might have been a precious, you might have saw something in the spirit realm. And because you're not ignorant of spiritual gifts, but you're aware of spiritual gifts, you'll connect the dots and say, praise God, thank you, Lord. That's why I say, you talk about some of this stuff, and you go, wow, I've kind of experienced some of this stuff along the way here and there. It's not every day, you know, but every once in a while, you get some stuff. You know, the other time that I remember significant, I was at UW Eau Claire, first year in college, in the cafeteria, feeling like the only Christian in the world, feeling like all by myself, and just saying, God, you know, just feeling like, God, where are you? And all of a sudden, it was a moment of time. I just saw, it was like that scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. What do you envision when you say looking unto Jesus? You see Jesus. It was like, when I said that, it was just like, I saw that in my spirit. Where are you? He's right there. It's like, wow, ever since then I've known he's right there because I saw something. Those are encouraging, precious gifts of the Spirit. Again, that's what, you know, maybe three of them in 30 years or whatever. Maybe, you know, not a lot, but I'll tell you what, when they happen, they're significant, and they'll bless your life, and I thank God for them. I thank God I don't just discount anything that's spiritual, and it's just all what I've figured out from the Word. No. Things are revealed to you by the Spirit of God, and they'll bless your life tremendously. And then finally, gifts that do something, all right? And this is what we'd say, gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith. You know, these are things that God will supernaturally pour out and do, you know, in a way that'll just be incredible. There'll be a huge blessing. We're talking about gifts of healings. This is not where a person asks to be prayed for to receive healing according to the stripes of Jesus and by faith. This is a gift of healing. In other words, they're not even necessarily asking for it. God manifests it. This is what we see here in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who had entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. He wasn't asking for healings, he's asking for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Again, money. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, this is just Peter and John minding their own business, going up together on the day of prayer, and the Spirit of God manifested. He looked at that, and he knew, Peter knew. And he said, I don't have silver and gold, but I got some. It's a gift of healing he had for them, and he gave it to them. He imparted it to him right there. Did Did Peter and John do that just to everybody all the time? Not at all. There was a lead. There was an element of the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he saw that there was a gift of healing that God had manifested to give to that man. And so you're going to see that in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, there are gifts of healing that will happen. Also, Acts chapter 4:29 says, something important to connect with this. They had gifts of healing flowing, but something to keep in mind, they also prayed for gifts to minister and to flow. And here we see in Acts chapter 4, says this is after they had been sent on their way, they'd been threatened, and they said, now Lord, look on their threat. This is all the apostles and the believers together in one place praying corporately together. And it said, now Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is a powerful connect of dots. Yeah, they had gifts of the Spirit flowing there in some powerful ways, but they were praying for it too. They were asking God, God, manifest yourself. What does he say? What's the motive of this prayer? Stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And so you had people praying for it, and God answered their prayers. Praise God. It's a good thing. You know, that's what you said. Covet earnestly. Desire gifts of the Spirit of God. Also, you'll see that there's a working of miracles. When Jesus had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva. This is the ministry of Jesus, of course. He anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went, washed, and came back seeing. Now you think, what is working of miracles? Working of miracles is just that. It's going to be something where, you know, something miraculous is going to happen, but you'll see also that there's a working of that miracle. And in this case, Jesus, and this is kind of an interesting one, he spit on the ground, made mud, rubs it in a man's eyes, washes in the pool. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just wave his hand over and say, see, just see? He didn't. He worked a miracle. You know, why? We know that he only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. He didn't come to do his own will. He was just in obedience to the Father. The Father was showing him, person by person, how to minister, working a miracle in the man's life. In the Old Testament, you can see where, you know, the prophet told Naaman the leper to go dip in the water seven times, and the seven times he came up whole. That's a working of miracles. There may be some steps involved when a person works a miracle. You know, Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, he who works miracles among you. There's a supernatural working of miracles. And when you think about miraculous, we think, we want miracles. Well, if you want a miracle, you got to have an impossible situation. You know, and a lot of times, you know, in our life, it's like, praise God, I want a miracle. I want a miracle to be able to minister a miracle. I don't want a miracle because I'm going to believe that I'm going to need a miracle, but I want that supernatural working of miracles to be flowing. Here's another example. It's and this would really be example. And these two that kind of work together, a lot of times there's a working of miracles, and then there's also what we'd call special faith. And when you're talking about raising somebody from the dead, okay, if you're going to raise somebody from the dead, that's not a healing. That's a miracle, all right? If there's somebody who doesn't have, you know, a guy who was born blind, if he didn't have eyes, that's not healing. That's a miracle. That's where something didn't exist, and now it creatively exists. That's just miraculous. Peter walking on the water, Jesus walking on the water, that's a miracle. You'll never get the conditions just right to where you can go and walk on the water. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, here's a leap, isn't it? You know, you don't have to believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You don't need to. Could you ignore this and know that you're saved by grace through faith and still go to heaven when you die and save yourself the embarrassment of heaven? Yeah, you can do all that. But you know what? It's kind of like golfing with only two clubs. I got my driver and I got my putter. Yeah, I can move the ball down the course, but it's sure nice to have a full set of clubs. In every situation, you know, I'm not worried about hitting in the sand. I got a sand wedge to get me out of the sand. When you realize that there are gifts of the Spirit that are available to you, you know, it's powerful. You realize that, hey, I don't have to worry about having everything all figured out and it's all based on my knowledge of the Word of God. No, I believe in my future. There's stuff going on, but I know there's supernatural spiritual equipment to get me out of jams and to help me and to overcome. In fact, Jesus said, when they haul you up before kings, he's talking to his his minister, his staff there. He said, they're going to call you off into king before kings. He said, don't prepare how you're going to answer. At that moment, it'll be given to you what you're going to say. Well, I'm not worried about hitting in the sand, because if I'm going to get in that jam, and if they're going to do it at that moment, they're talking by utterance of the Holy Spirit. They're talking by supernatural utterance. That's an element of prophecy right there. And I'm just trusting God that I'm going to know what I need when I need it. Jesus told them, don't have your throw your prepared remarks away. You're going to be talking supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's the problem when you gut the church of the spiritual gifts that were given to her. It just makes it a bit more clumsy when you're doing the will of God. The Apostle Paul played with a full set of clubs. He wasn't afraid. He had clubs in his bag. There were clubs of vision, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. What he needed it when he needed it. Is it every day? No. It's not weird. It's not strange. It's what you need when you need it. Praise God. It's not a sideshow. It's not a freak show. These are things that happened with frequency throughout the book of Acts. Spiritual equipment to get the work done. And what he tells us is don't be ignorant of those devices. Don't be ignorant. He says don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, but don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. That's what he said. Praise God. What happens when we are ignorant? We just don't think about them. We just don't even give credence. We certainly aren't coveting them or desiring them. But when we begin to realize, yeah, praise God. Lord, there are some incredible things that you have for me, precious things that you've called me to do, and you've given me the spiritual equipment to do them. So what are we saying? There are gifts of the Spirit. There are gifts that say something. Prophecy. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, which really equate to prophecy. Gifts that reveal something. Word of knowledge. Facts that are present to past, or word of wisdom, future stuff that you could not have known but by the Spirit of God. And then the discerning of spirits. I can see into the spirit realm and I can discern stuff, and God's showing me things that I'm not seeing with my natural eyes but with the eyes of my spirit. And then there's also the gifts that do something. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith. Those are those supernatural impartations and unctions of the Spirit of God that God will do. Now let me say all this too. That last verse in verse 11, you'll notice what it says is that God, I meant to put in the, reiterate it, but I forgot it. But the very first scripture we looked at, he said this, and this is very important to notice. In verse 11, it says, but the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's a very important thing to understand, the gifts of the Spirit. I don't pull these out of my pocket and shoot it like a gun. I want a word of wisdom. They function as he wills, not as I will. I can earnestly covet them. I can desire them. The Bible tells me to do that. You can create an atmosphere like they did in Acts chapter 13. They're ministering unto the Lord. They're praying. They're fasting. And there's a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. But I don't control them and I don't dictate them. That's a very important thing to understand. Sometimes people have the attitude, well, the Spirit's always wanting to speak, always, 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 always. And so you should just always and push and push and push. Wrong. You'll get off as the Spirit wills. We had a service this morning where God raised somebody out of a wheelchair and did something, one of these miraculous gifts or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, that doesn't mean next week he's going to do twice that. No, you take it one day at a time, one service at a time, and this is where churches can get off to. They'll have something happen, and we've got to outdo it next week than this week. No, you didn't do it in the first place. The Spirit manifested. And so there's a tremendous humility. And a lot of this stuff doesn't happen inside the church. We read the book of Acts. It wasn't happening in church services. It was happening out there. When it really, a church is functioning in this, a lot of times it's happening where you are. It could happen at work. It could happen in the park. These gifts flow. They're not regulated to 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. They can flow, as we've seen, but they're not restricted there either. So what are we talking about? Just the gifts of the Spirit. Realize these things function, flow as he wills. But as God is speaking to your heart, be open. You might sense something. If you all of a sudden feel like you see something and perceive something, that's like, I couldn't have known that. Pay attention to that. You know, don't just disregard it. God can and does, at times, as he wills, minister these additional sources, tremendous, powerful avenues of spiritual grace and equipment to help us as the New Testament church to get things done in the earth. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that they are given to us by you. And they are gifts Lord, we're so thankful. We know that salvation is a gift. Help us, Lord, also to see these supernatural abilities, Father, as gifts that we can receive, that we can be sensitive to, that we can be aware of, that we don't have to be afraid of them, but that we can be encouraged, that we can have direction for our life confirmed powerfully through supernatural gifts of the Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. It's because you love us. You put these gifts into the body of Christ. And I just pray for each one now, Lord, as we go forth. Our days are just full of decisions. Our lives are full of directions and directives and relationships and opportunities. And we need, Lord, the guidance of your Spirit. We need, Lord, supernatural giftings at times, encouragement of the Holy Spirit to edification, exhortation, comfort. I pray for each one here this morning now to be encouraged, to not be ignorant of those spiritual gifts, but to be aware. Yeah, they seem far out to our natural mind. They are. They're supernatural. And that's okay. Lord, help us to not be too smart for this. Help us to have that same childlike faith that we had when we received Jesus as Lord, to have that same childlike faith to be open to the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit as you will, that we're open, that we have ears to hear. Thank you, Father God. We just pray the precious, powerful ministry of the Spirit of God. We just pray, Father God, for each one of us to be aware and to flow and to just be open to these special, precious gifts of your Spirit. We thank you already for the many ways you have already moved and worked in our lives through these gifts. And we thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you can and will in the future. Help us in our course, in our journey with these precious gifts of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Praise God.